This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. If you're the parent of a child with autism in West Virginia or know someone who is, you might have heard or thought some variation of this refrain.
We can't get sick and we can't die because who's going to take care of him? You know, what's going to happen to him?
That was Lindsay Reiser. The Reisers are among many families in West Virginia who are struggling to get services for their children with autism. For those of you not familiar with the diagnosis, autism is a spectrum of complex brain disorders characterized by communication difficulties, social and behavioral challenges, and repetitive behaviors. Kara Lofton reports that while some of the disability services, both state and private, available in West Virginia are quite good, there's not nearly enough of them.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates that 1 in 68 children have an autism spectrum disorder. Autism rates can differ widely from state to state, though. In New Jersey, for instance, the rates are 1 in 41, while in South Carolina, the rates are 1 in 81. No mechanism exists to track autism rates in West Virginia.
Hey, buddy.
What's happening?
What's this?
She is sneezing.
Microphone. Microphone.
Nice.
Say it loud. Say microphone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job.
Less than 2% of any children or children with autism receive any evidence-based treatment. So we know that the ability to give these kids the best outcome is really limited by the lack of services.
That's Susanna Poe, director of the Intensive Autism Delivery Clinic at West Virginia University at her Morgantown facility. Poe says that 2% is an estimate the nonprofit Mountaineer Autism Project came up with after a 2010 survey of West Virginia applied behavior analysis practitioners like herself. To be clear, many ABA practitioners think that ABA is the best method for treating autism, if not the only one. So the 2% is really only referring to kids receiving ABA therapy.
What we find is that the earlier we can identify kids, the more intensely we can involve an individualized one-to-one program, the more kids we will have who will be independent and capable of having lives that are typical of, you know, most any normally developing person.
If early intervention is the key, they're missing that mark.
That's Tom Reiser in Pineville. We heard from his wife, Lindsay, a little earlier. Their 9-year-old son, Ricky, has autism.
Hey, Rick.
For a while, Ricky had been receiving ABA therapy in the Reisers' home. They hoped it would help his speech, behavior, and improve his ability to take care of himself.
So, was the applied behavioral therapy helping when he was in it?
No.
I think it helped a little.
Maybe.
I think it helped a little.
Part of the lack of success may be because research has found ABA is only truly effective if it is intensive, a minimum of 20 hours a week, with the gold standard being closer to 40, the kind of program being offered in Morgantown. Ricky was receiving 3 hours a week. Now,
he has services at the school. He gets speech therapy for 30 minutes a week. Occupational therapy, I think it might be 30 minutes to an hour a month. And I don't think there's really any physical therapy. We don't have private insurance. He just has Medicaid.
No applied behavior analysis therapists in the state are currently taking Medicaid or have been able to successfully bill Medicaid. So when Tom changed jobs and the family lost private insurance, they also lost the ABA therapy.
Oh, Googie.
Here, why don't you get up and show your trampoline or something? No?
Ricky was watching the credits of Finding Nemo on his iPad when I visited. His mom pointed to a few things in the sparse bedroom they'd found worked well for him. Toys did not.
And this is about a 10-pound blanket. And it compresses, gives him compression on his legs and stuff, and it helps him sleep.
Other objects include a mini trampoline with a bar to hold on to while he bounced, and a fabric hammock swing that Tom says he suspects feels like a hug without arms. Like many kids on the spectrum, Ricky rarely shows physical affection to his family. Jill McLaury is founder of the ABA facility Bright Futures in Hurricane.
To do Medicaid, I would have to be a licensed behavioral health facility. And right now, I've got, again, a waiting list of over 50 families who are private insurance that I'm not able to serve.
Every West Virginia Autism Center I contacted had a wait list for services.
In West Virginia, even your more populated areas of the state, the families that do have insurance coverage are also still on waiting lists. And so it's absolutely going to be even more significant of a problem in the more rural parts of the state.
Like the risers in Pineville, they moved back there from Florida to be close to family who can help them care for Ricky. Both parents have to work. They commute an hour to Beckley to keep the family financially afloat. But there are no ABA services available to them in Pineville, or even in Beckley, the closest metropolitan area. So, what happens to families like the risers?
He was out of control.
He was being more aggressive. And
despite being on Risperdal, which is supposed to be for aggression. So, we were at a wit's end because we didn't know whether he was going to be able to go to public school or not. So then you're like, well, what are we going to do beyond that?
Our special report, Autism, a West Virginia story about autism services in the state, continues in just a moment. Coming up, we'll learn about what the Riser family did to provide for their son. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:50. Light rain this morning, partial clearing this afternoon. Temperatures will be in the 50s. Clear skies tonight with widespread frost possible. Overnight lows in the 30s. Sunshine on Wednesday with highs in the upper 50s and 60s.
Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. By the West Virginia Symphony Orchestra, performing bluegrass, pop, and classical with the trio Time for Three on Saturday, April 16th at the Clay Center in Charleston. Tickets and information at wvsymphony.org. And by Marshall University, now offering undergraduate courses on its South Charleston campus. Program details and financial aid information at marshall.edu.
Our special report, Autism, a West Virginia story, continues now with one family's challenge to provide for their son. When we left off, the risers were concerned that their son, Ricky, would no longer be able to attend public school because he was becoming increasingly aggressive toward his teachers.
So the risers, desperate, decided to try something different. They made an appointment at Autism Health in Beckley, a clinic that focuses on the relationship between poor gut function and autism symptoms like poor sleep patterns, diarrhea, and aggression. They said they were pretty skeptical of the clinic at first, but it got to the point that...
So we were like, okay, you know, we'll try anything pretty much.
Janet Lintela is the founder of the clinic. She said she sees kids like Ricky come into her office all the time.
They can't sleep. They're constipated. They have acid reflux. They're in quite a bit of discomfort and pain, but no, they can't tell anyone that because most of them don't have their language. And so how they tell us that is through irritability and difficult behaviors. And that's what ends up getting medicated. We all see the difficult behaviors. The doctors go, here's an antipsychotic, and that painful underlying condition remains unaddressed. It's just like a merry-go-round they can't get off of.
Lintela, a chiropractor by training and mother of an autistic child, prescribes a combination of digestive enzymes, probiotics, antifungals, improved diet, and hyperbaric oxygen therapy to her patients. Lintela says she does not take a salary at her clinic and provides an angel fund for families unable to access her services. For Ricky, it's really effective.
His bowels regulated before he was either stopped up or going 4 or 5 times a day. So just the relief that he gets, with the enzymes, just for his bowels alone, is worth the price of admission.
Ricky is also sleeping better and has become less aggressive to the point that he was able to be taken off of his anti-aggression medication, Risperdal. The risers are quick to point out that their son still has autism. This isn't a cure, nor are they trying to cure him.
All that we can do is
you know, give him some therapies and try to help him regain his speech or, you know, whatever physical problems he might be having and try to ease his symptoms, but you're never going to cure him.
In a follow-up email, I asked Tom why they didn't take Ricky to a gastrointestinal specialist. Tom said they didn't realize the gastrointestinal issues were such a huge problem. It wasn't until they went to Autism Health that someone made the connection. It's worth noting that Lintela is very supportive of ABA therapy, saying that what she does is scientifically proven to be low risk and accomplishes completely different goals than ABA. ABA therapists like Jill McLaurie are more critical of Lintela, urging patients to consider their resources and time carefully when deciding which therapies to pursue. But the risers are very complimentary of Lintela's clinic. They say they notice huge regressions during periods they're not able to afford the enzymes, which cost around $40 a bottle and last about a month. Despite improvements, they continue to hope for more therapy in general, which they think is most likely to come through the state Intellectual and Developmental Disabilities Waiver Program. The Intellectual Developmental Disabilities Waiver Program is awarded to West Virginians who have a documented intellectual and/or developmental disability. 4,634 people are on the waiver, the maximum allowed, and more than 1,000 are on the wait list. The average time between when a person is approved for the IDD waiver program and when they receive a slot is a little over 3 years.
If these children need this waiver and need the support, then where is the immediacy? Because right now my child is behind. He grows more and more behind every day. If this is an early intervention, something that is only remedied by early intervention, where is the immediacy in the waiver? Why is it taking 3 years? 3 years? To get my child into this program? That's a little extreme.
The waiver provides a plethora of services for families, including direct care services, day services, respite services, and behavior management services. Legislators have considered cutting funding to it. But in a written statement, the DHHR says that despite historic budget challenges, every effort is being made to protect the current level of funding allocated by the legislature for the waiver. So, you might be wondering, what happens when a child does get the services they need? Well, they might look like Hope.
She's my mom.
11-year-old Hope is beaming at her mother through the door of the treatment room. She is one of the first children Susanna Poe took on at the Intensive Autism Delivery Clinic in Morgantown 5 years ago.
Hope was able to start here when she was five. When she started here, she was not potty trained. She would not eat. She still had a gastrostomy feeding tube in her stomach.
That's Hope's mother, Sarah Criquinho. Her family had been to feeding and swallowing clinics and tried to get help through Birth to Three, a West Virginia program for families with children who have a delay in their development or may be at risk for a delay in development. By the time she was five, she only had about 100 words.
Since coming here, Hopi has transformed into this really blossoming little girl. She's opinionated, she acts like she runs the show. She came from being so withdrawn and not wanting to talk to.
That was perfect, Hopi. Nice job. Stack them. Good
At the clinic, Hope and some of the other children are beginning to eat lunch. She is smiling, laughing, and posing for pictures. She makes eye contact, is eating, potty trained, and
she is able to verbally ask for what she wants and tell you how she feels. And that is huge as a parent. When you can think of trying to care for a child who can't tell you what hurts or can't tell you what they want other than through some nonverbal gestures, going to a child who say, I would like some chocolate, please, or my head hurts, it makes a world of difference. It really does.
Hope's story is, well, hopeful. It's a success story of what can happen when severely autistic kids get the early intensive services they need. But remember those statistics Susanna Poe talked about at the very beginning of the story? Only 2% of autistic children in West Virginia are receiving these early intensive services. For the other 98%, like Ricky Reiser, the question remains, what about me? For Appalachia Health News, I'm Kara Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Benedum Foundation.
And you can find more information about autism, including a web-only interview with Janet Lintala about her new book, The Unprescription for Autism, and a special interview with autism pioneer Ruth Sullivan on our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.